Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Then verse 13 says, and Mordecai told them to answer Esther, do you think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews? Verse 14 says this, for if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise from the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan, fast for me, neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. And so Mordecai went his way and did according to all Esther had commanded him. Come on, applaud what that is all about. Let's pray. Father, we have a mandate today, and this is a pass or fail. It's one of those situations that if we perish, we perish, but we've got to go before because there's something happening in our world and in our nation. Some people are in denial and they don't want to believe it, but Lord, we know, we sense it in the air. There's a change, there's a shift, there's things that are happening. And we as a people, as a church of God, we must be prepared for the things that are yet to come. So I pray in the name of Jesus, as we look into your word today, that this, for such a time as this, this is a time where we should be fasting and praying. And some people say, oh, I don't know, I don't have anything to fast and pray about. I don't know what planet you're living on, but I know that today is a day for us to pray. Lord, Holy Spirit, teach us through your word today that we'll realize a time of urgency, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and glory, for we ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Well, for those of you who follow the news media and follow various things about the economy and such like this, and following the Dow Jones average, I think it's 2,500 or something like that. It's risen 700 points in the last year or so. Some people say, oh, happy days are here again. Oh, really? Consider this. You'll discover that vast majority of people have a positive outlook on the future in spite of the political declarations and boastings by those who hold high rank in the political arena. I'm just drawing a little parallel here. Yet in spite of all this, there's a pressing need for the church to humbly seek the Lord with a greater fervency than ever to destroy the plans of the enemy. We must resist the temptation to become complacent and pursue the greater matters of the kingdom of God. Don't let complacency overtake you. I want a little note I put out in my Bible so I wouldn't forget it. In Portland, Oregon, in order for us to get up to the national average of people that go to church, which isn't that great, or who are believers, which is 36%, there would have to be 5,000 churches of 100 people or more for us to get up to the basic average of 36%. That's how pitiful Portland is. We are at the end of the food chain as far as cities with this type of population as far as people going to church. Now, do you have something to pray about? So, oh, I didn't realize it was that bad. I know. You drank the Kool-Aid. But I'm here to tell you today, we're in an urgent situation. And if you're not fasting and praying about that, at least one day say, Lord, turn our city around. Lord, bring people to Jesus. Bring people to their knees. That's one thing that we need to do. Here's my three things I'm going to talk about today. First of all, are you able to grasp the urgency for the church to humbly seek the Lord through fasting and prayer to bring about deliverance from spiritual bondage of many in and outside the church? Everybody that's bound is not outside. There's some folks in here. And you bring the devil with you every week. But I'm going to cast him out of you today because we don't need him here. Number two, do you sense a personal need to overcome addictions and habits that have held you hostage for a long time? What about this number three? Can you agree that there is no better time than now to address the real issues you are facing in your life. Amen. Tomorrow's too late. No one's promised tomorrow. The Bible says, the day you hear my voice, don't harden your heart. God is going to speak to you today, and you'll have an option of whether you're going to listen to what he's saying or harden your heart. Well, yeah, I should probably do something. I'll probably get a hold of that next week. It's not promised to you. Let's go on. For such a time as this, Esther chapter 4, verses 13 through 14, I'll read that. It says this. And Mordecai answered and says, do you think that in your heart that you will escape the king's palace any more than all the other Jews? That's our problem. Some of us believe we're an exception. Oh, it happens to them, or that people group, or that nationality. It's not going to happen to me. Ever had something happen to you you weren't expecting? And you're just like, oh, I can't believe that happened. Really? There are some things that we need to be aware of. And then 14, he says, for if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise from the Jews from another place. I need to tell you something. God don't need you for nothing. The Bible says you're a chosen people, but if you think he can't do it without you, you are kidding yourself. God was, if he could use a donkey, a jackass, it's in the Bible. I hope you have risen above that particular calling. If you can speak, when Balaam was going to go the wrong direction, he says, you know, finally he had to get crazy with the man. God will use whatever he can to get his will done. So don't fool yourself into thinking that you're irreplaceable or something of this nature. Well, we must awaken from the deception that we are the exception and need not to be concerned about what's going on in the world. The devil will blind you from the truth. And one of the number one ways to be blinded from the truth is prosperity. It is. When things are going good, economy's good, job, unemployment rate's down to about 4%. They think it might drop below even 4%. Stock market's at 2,500. There's no end in sight. Some people say, oh, it's going to crash. Other people say, oh, no, it's not going to happen. It keeps going up by 100, 200. And we have got ourselves, we're intoxicated by prosperity. It's never been so good. Maybe you're one of those corporations that gave you an extra $1,000. Maybe you weren't. But recent legislation and economic synthetic monetary manipulation of resources have caused people to believe that things are getting better. And I said some words here, and maybe you don't believe me. If you want to have a conversation, we'll have it at another time. But there's manipulation of resources that is done with synthetic monetary manipulation. It ain't even real. It's not even real. But some people get themselves involved with that. And what about this? The urgent call for fasting and prayer will be silenced by the deafening sound of those who take their cues from the economic promise of greater prosperity on the horizon. If you can just get there. Well, we must resist the delusion that we will be able to escape from the things that will happen to the church in these trying times. We're not gonna. Now, this is not a doomsday message. I don't want you to leave here depressed, but I want you to be energized to believe that this is the best day for you to live all that you can for Jesus. The people that you think don't want to hear about the message of the gospel, you are totally delusional. They want to have hope beyond this life. Nobody's gonna be here forever. You know, with various diseases that are running rampant, you know, of course, they've got Cancer Center of America that's doing great things as far as that's concerned, but I tell you what, you're going to die one day. I don't care how, if you live to be 100, at 101, 02, you're done. Where are you going? Where are you going? And God wants us to be prepared, but not only for ourselves, but for the benefit of others that are around us. There's so much to be done. Well, our present position in life is no guarantee of protection for what is to come. There are some of us that have lived a pretty sweet life. You've worked hard for it, and I would not deny anybody who's spent a lot of time with their education, a lot of time working their craft, whatever their business happens to be. I applaud what you've done. But do not suffer under the delusion that you made it, because you haven't. Every day, God's mercy is renewed to you every morning. And you know what your assignment is here above everything else? Is to bring somebody else into relationship with him. It's not to increase your bank account or your credit score. He said, well, I'm making plans for the future and my 401k and all those other type of things. Really? Well, the story of Esther is pretty intriguing because here's this young lady who has had favor with the king and this type of thing. Give you a background to some of you folks who've never read the Bible. And there's a number of you here who haven't. Esther, who's she? Esther? Is she one of them rock groups? Is this Esther and her gang? No. Esther was this young lady who found favor with the king. Beautiful girl. But she's a Jew. And by the fact of her being Jewish, and there's this guy named Mordecai. Mordecai hates Jews. I want to tell you right now, listen to me carefully. The devil hates you. You say, well, that's depressing. It's true. And so Mordecai hated the Jews, and he wanted to get rid of them. And so he somehow manipulated things. So the king wrote out this decree that all the Jews were going to be eradicated. Haman. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Haman did it. Mordecai is a good guy. Sorry, thank you for helping me with that. Mordecai's a good guy. Haman's a bad guy. Okay. Haman gets this, well, you got to get the right person on the right team. Okay. So anyway, so Haman gets this thing done. And thank you. You folks are reading your Bible. That's good. So anyway. So Haman's got this thing going, and they're in trouble. And so people are going with sackcloth and with ashes saying, what are we going to do? But they realize there's one person who can make a difference. A little girl named Esther, who had favor. I want to tell you right now, the favor you have is not for you. Don't look at me funny. Oh, people love me because I'm so... No, they don't. No, they don't. Any good gift that you have should be an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God, including your good looks. Because that's what Esther had to offer, really. And so she had favor with the king and this type of thing. And so, lest she get wrapped up in herself, Mordecai says to her, he said, let me tell you something, sweetie. If you think for a reason that you didn't have purpose and time here, that you're the only person that controls this, you're not. If you don't do it, God will bring somebody else to do it. So don't get so wrapped up in the idea that you're the final answer as far as that's concerned. Well, it's a little bit better than this. And so the presupposition, our protection from the enemy will require action on our part to declare our devotion to the Lord. So the deal is, he says, you need to go talk to the king. There's a problem. You don't go to the king until he really asks for you to come. Otherwise, you're dead. You don't go in his time frame, it's not going to be good for you. It won't work out. But Esther says, she says, you know what? If y'all will fast and pray with me, I'm going to take a risk. You know what we need to do, folks? We need to get on the same team. If you want to see Portland change, if you want to see your loved ones come to Jesus, we all need to be praying together for the same thing. I want your loved one saved as much as you should want my loved one saved. Somehow, we need to mount our forces together against the devil. Get on the right team. And she says, well, you pray and everybody else pray. And well, no, and but here's the part I love about this story. She says, for such a time as this, Mordecai says. And she says this, if I perish, I perish. I'm going to take a risk. I'm going to put my life on the line. May I ask you a question? When is the last time you put your life on the line for somebody's salvation? Never. Well, we'll get a little bit deeper into this in a few moments. But consider this fact. Our security is found in the word of God that has been spoken over our situation and circumstances. Well, we must come boldly before the Lord in prayer and fasting to proclaim the will of the Lord over the things that we would seek to destroy us. This is what it looks like. We have been assigned by the Holy Spirit to take authority over the plans of the enemy. Somebody say amen. Amen. That's your assignment. to pull down the strongholds of the enemy. He said, well, I can't do that. Your prayer can. A Holy Spirit energizing you can. Us working together as a body, we can. That's what the Word of God says. In my name, they will cast out devils. That's in Mark chapter 15, verse 16. They're going to cast out devils. He said, well, I haven't cast out a devil before. Well, let's exercise that right now in Jesus' name. He said, well, I'm not a pastor. You don't have to be a pastor. He says, these signs shall follow those that believe. Are you a believer? If you're a believer, you're a threat to the devil. You have to tell him, in the name of Jesus, not in my name, get out of here. In the name of Jesus, it's not going to happen anymore. In the name of Jesus, I take that curse off my family. In the name of Jesus, I am righteousness of God. In the name of Jesus, I have power over the enemy. In the name of Jesus, this sickness no longer can control my body. In the name of Jesus. Ooh, I'm feeling something now. You better look out. Because I know that he's able. And if he did it before, he can do it again. Hallelujah. Well, Esther resolved that she would seek a breakthrough with the support of others that would be impacted by the plan of the enemy. What does that mean? When we come together and focus on issues we commonly face, we'll find power and divine authority to intercede on our behalf. Okay, we define the common enemy as the devil. What about this? We must not exclude ourselves from the common enemy that is warring against us. Because if you've had some success in your life and you haven't been a part of some oppressive environment, don't think that you've escaped free. Then you should be interceding for those who have. Well, that doesn't affect me. Everything in my life is just fine. And so you figure, I'm just going my merry way. I don't know what you're talking about. I've never faced racial prejudice before. Everything's been lovely. Everyone loves me. You are delusional. You are so delusional. God bless you with your, yes. Fasting will give us the confidence of declaring, if I perish, I perish. Now, going back to the first part, obedience and sacrifice will reap the reward of miraculous deliverance. Here we go. Esther chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. Do we have those? Yeah, I think we're on a roll here. Here we go. How it happened. Now it happened on the third day that Esther put on her royal robes, stood in the inner court of the king's palace, across from the king's house, while the king sat in his royal throne in the royal house, facing the entrance of the house. Verse 2. So it was that when the king saw Esther standing in the court, that she found favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. Just hold it right there for a moment. First, you got to go. Break off all the fear and go and stand in the right place. With no guarantee that you're going to get it, that, you know, something good's going to happen to you. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. I need to rebuke off some people today, the spirit of fear. Oh, if I stand there and he doesn't do anything, I'm going to lose my life. You're going to lose your life anyway. But here, look at this. And she found favor in his sight. Everybody say favor.
Favor.
That's what God has on you. And he held out to Esther the golden scepter. You know, if anyone was watching, they were probably stunned. And like, the king's never done this before. Do you know something? Some of you are going to experience things on your job, things in your home, things in your family that have never been done before, but you'll be able to recognize it was only God who did it. You've had people that have been nasty to you all this different time. All of a sudden they say, you know, I really need to apologize for being so nasty toward you. Thinking, what happened to her? God's favor can turn people around. God's favor can turn around from their crazy, bad attitude they've had all these years. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit can touch that hardened part of their heart and soften it in the name of Jesus. Let me get to this last part. It's good. And the king said to her, what do you wish, Queen Esther? What is your request? It shall be given to you up to half of the kingdom. Not bad. You're going to pray and get half the kingdom. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of men the things that the Lord has in store for those who love him. Anybody love Jesus? You qualify for that scripture. Found favor in his eyes. Let me move on quickly, because in your outlook should be, should not be defined by your circumstances. I'm going to shift to another story here that's really important. Daniel chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that they, so they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image that I have set up?" Move on, please. "Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, the psaltery, and the symphony, with all kinds of music, that you fall down and worship the image that, which I have made up, made good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God that will be able to deliver you from my hands?" Go on to the next person. Part, please. "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand. But if not,'" say it with me, "but if not," say it again, "but if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." Come on, shout. God can. But if he doesn't, we are not going to compromise our conviction. Well, I felt something inside of me at that moment, because there's something that God wants to eradicate from us for good. And so he goes on to, they make this declaration. And, you know, "O king, we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." May I ask you, what's your resolve? And what's your bottom line of what you will not do? Hopefully it's in concert with what we just said. Well, the Reu boys in induction into ministry was through fasting. We're going to go to Daniel chapter 1, verses 11 through 14, 18 and 19. I'll give you a lot of scripture today, but it's important because it sets the stage. So Daniel said to the steward whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. That is actually Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They changed their names, okay? So it's the same three guys. "Please test your servants for 10 days and give us vegetables to eat and water to drink." That's all they had. "Then let us let our appearance be examined before you, and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies, and see, and as you see fit, so deal with your servants." So he consented with them in this matter and tested them 10 days. I want to talk to you about a lifestyle of fasting. While they were in the king's household, even at the time when they were tested about bowing down to the image, they were still under what we call a Daniel fast, because they made this covenant: we are not going to eat the king's stuff. It will defile us. Now you say, well, is this the all-in-all for all Christian believers that they stay in a constant state of fasting from those particular things? That's not the goal, folks. But it is something for us to consider. Now, verses 18 to 19, let's get those real quickly. "Now, at the end of the days, when the king had said they should be brought before the chief of the eunuchs, he brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Then the king interviewed them, and among them, none of those was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, Therefore, they served before the king. Let me tell you what fasting will do for you, or do to you. It's not about the food that you don't eat. It's about the dedication of the reason why you're doing it. Why are you doing it? You say, oh, I could lose a few pounds. That's why some of you are doing it. And you're right, you could. I ain't gonna fight with you over that. But call Jenny Craig, Weight Watchers. You know, what's that one on TV, that lady, where they send the boxes in the mail? Portion out all your food. Y'all don't pretend like you don't know. But the deal behind that wasn't what it was all about. The Hebrew boys had a lifestyle of fasting. Their commitment was not to defile themselves with things of the world. The Lord gave them the supernatural strength and wisdom that seemed wisdom that was better than the ordinary folk. Well, the lifestyle they chose left no room for compromise of their values. What will it take for you to compromise your values? What's still on the table? Wow. They honored and respected the king's position. You notice what they said. They held their convictions regarding who was worthy to worship. And they were confident in the Lord's ability to save their lives. So they said, the God we serve, in the scripture that follows this, is able to deliver us. But even if he doesn't, he's worthy to be praised. Amen. What's on the table for you today? Does God have to deliver you from a circumstance or a situation for you to, him to prove himself to you? But you know what? He's proved himself to you over and over and over again. There's nothing to prove. Their convictions did not keep them from being a part of the fire, keep them from being put in the fiery furnace. Now, that's one thing I need to just spend a little time with you. The Bible says this, they that live godly shall suffer persecution. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
No, that wasn't good enough. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Now, what you gave amen to was the fact that you realize that God is telling the truth. If you think you would join an exclusive club when you became a Christian, that all of a sudden, no evil gonna come near me, the devil can't handle me, the devil just gotta listen, he can't do nothing to me at all. Delusional. If you live godly, you'll be persecuted. But be not overcome with this, because the Lord says, I've already overcome the world. So the issue goes on like this. They no doubt prayed for deliverance from the fiery furnace. Okay, I'm going to take this one step at a time. I want you to be honest with me. How many of you prayed to be delivered from something and still had to go through it? Raise your hand. Well, aren't you ready to quit and throw in the towel? You prayed and God didn't deliver you. It's time to exit, find somebody else. I want to know why you stayed. You need to know why you stayed. Well, they put it this way, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That's what Job said. Do you realize that Job is the oldest book in the Bible? It's the old, of Job's account, he had done nothing wrong, and all of a sudden God allowed Satan to do all the stuff to him, but he said, it doesn't matter, all the days of my appointed time, I'll wait for my change to come. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. It doesn't matter. Remember, Job's wife says to him, honey, sweetie, I got something for you ought to do. Hold on to your dignity. Why don't you just curse God and die? That's his wife. He said, you talk like a foolish woman. God's going to take care of it. I want you be careful of the people that will advise you to walk out on what God's trying to do in your life. You need to put them on your stand aside list. Let it go. Well, so the ones that who threw them in the furnace, let's get to this in a minute. We're going to find out what happens when people try to mess with God's folks. So they're about to go through this whole thing in the fiery furnace, and God does some amazing things when we're about ready to, seems like we're going down or we're going under, that God will come through to us and for us, showing us his hand and showing his mercy and showing us his provision. So the the ones that were putting him in the fiery furnace, they said, well, you know, and he had a couple ideas. He says, and just to make sure that we take care of them, heat the furnace 7 times hotter than usual. That sounds interesting. So, pick it up at chapter 3 of Daniel, verse 23. So, those three things, their lifestyle they've chosen, left no room for compromise. Their convictions kept them from being in the fire. Okay, now here's the one. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. If you're going to interpret that from what happened, it's over. It's finished. Nothing you can do. I want to ask a question to some people that are here today. It seems as though that you're on your knees, as it were, in the midst of the fiery furnace about to be consumed. Don't raise your hand, but I know you're here. And just, you're wondering, you thought things were going to turn out differently than they did. But regardless of what you tried to do, it didn't work out the way you thought. Well, the good thing about it is that God has not forgotten about you. In the midst of your trial, in the midst of your tribulation, he's about to do something that will confound those people that thought that they were going to get to the end of you. So, I'm trying to get a scripture that will support what I'm just saying. Here we go. All right. My goodness. I have a new Bible here, and the pages are thin, and I'm trying to make them thicker. Okay. So anyway, moving on. So they fell down in the midst of the fiery furnace. And then verse 3, did we get that? Yeah, 323, there we go. And then we'll go to, do you have 24, I believe? Oh, 25, that's okay. All right, so here's what we'll do. As they find themselves bound in the furnace, it seems reasonable that they would fall to their knees in the midst of the fiery furnace, bound by ropes in prayer in submission to the Lord. Because I looked at that scripture and said, well, it's almost like they've given up. No, they've given up. I can guarantee you when they fell to their knees, their hands went up. They said, God, whatever you're going to do, it's going to be all right. But we're in the midst of this furnace, and we know that we're not in this place alone. So anyway, so they're going through that particular piece, and here we go with what I wanted to share with you. In verse 22, it says, therefore, because the king's command was urgent, the furnace was exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed the men who took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The people that put you in the furnace, they're dead men. The ones that are fulfilling that particular prophecy against you, God will deal with them. Then it gets better. Then the king, Nebuchadnezzar, was astounded and was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said, King, true O king, look, he answered, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is the Son of God. If you're going through the fire right now, I want to tell you, you're not in there by yourself. God is in there with you, in the midst of the fire. Here's what's good about that, and we'll resolve this whole thing. In the midst of our trials, Jesus will show up and walk with us through it. Anybody believe that? Yeah, this means he didn't exempt you from it, but he's not going to leave you there by yourself. But the part I love about this, what was intended to bind them with fear set them free as a testimony of God's faithfulness. Because see, they probably bound them with ropes. But isn't it interesting that the fire took off the ropes but let them march around in the fire? I'm thinking that God is, sometimes we want God to set us free from certain things. He'll put you in the fire to take the ropes off. He'll put you in the fire so you can see what he's going to do. You'll go in the fire all bound up. But by the time the fire that was intended to kill you will set you free. That's what God's going to do for you. The things that people thought they're going to bind you with, God said, don't worry about it. Keep marching the fire, but you'll be walking around with your hands raised, talking about, God did it again. And I will believe that's what's going to happen for folks today. Wow. God's intentions are more powerful than the motives of other men, other people. Yeah. Fasting should be a lifestyle choice that will embrace, that we will embrace in order to give God the glory. And everything we go through has a purpose, and the Lord will use it for good. Would you tell me a little bit about your fiery furnace without talking out loud? It's scary. You don't know what's going to happen. When the door opens and you see the flames rushing out at you, and the people that were going to, after they throw you in there, they themselves die. Your spirit will say, who can survive this? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord. That was David's report. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Oh, glory to God. I'm about done. But here's the issue. You may not get the opportunity to choose what you go through, but you will learn to praise God for taking you through it. I want you to repeat after me. I may not get the opportunity to choose what I go through, but I will learn to praise God for taking me through it. That's what it's all about. What does that mean? Fasting will prepare you to surrender your expectations of how things should look. Because when you're fasting, all of a sudden God gives you a whole different perspective. So that means that fasting will adjust your desires to come into alignment with the will of God. How about that? You'll go in thinking this thing, you'll come out, well, I was thinking this, but all of a sudden God says, oh, wait a minute, that's not what God was after. This is what he was after. But what about this? The chains and bondage that you go through will be the means for others to gain their freedom. Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 13. Now, before I read this, I'm going to tell you this. Paul is in jail. He's writing this letter from jail. Gone through all kinds of different stuff, tells him about how much he loves him. But listen to this. This should help you. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. You in jail, Paul, what's wrong with you? You're in jail because of the gospel? Really? God should deliver you from jail. What are you doing in jail? Here's the best part. So that if it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. He says, I am in jail. I am in chains, but it's all because of the gospel, that Jesus may be spread abroad, that people may come to know who Jesus is. You need to adjust your attitude by what you're going through. You may be going through some hard stuff, but you know God's going to turn it around for good. Now remember, you're talking about somebody who wrote over half the New Testament, and this is his attitude while he's in jail. Some of you ain't even close to jail, and you've got a bad attitude. I mean, you miss your max train. You feel like the Lord's against you. Really? You're a case. My goodness. Got a couple of minutes. Here's the last thing. We'll go to Isaiah 58, verses 6 through 8. Here we go. Is not this the fast I've chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? I like that part, every yoke. Go on to the next one, please. Is not to share your bread with the hungry, that you may bring your house to the poor, who are cast out. When you see the naked, that you will cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Verse 8. Then your light shall bring forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Here's some statements we need to make, and it'll be really quick. Worship team, make your way up here. I'm just about done. Freedom is the ultimate goal of fasting. What? It's the ultimate goal of fasting. Sometimes it will take fasting to reveal the things that have held us hostage. And sometimes we'll realize that's what's going on. Our desire in fasting is to focus on what we can do to free people from their suffering. You're not fasting just for yourself. You're fasting for other people that are in bondage. Can you agree with that? Are you willing to do that? Furthermore, yokes of bondage will be removed from when we seek the Lord to reveal their source and take authority over it. I'm going to talk more about that next week, so let me move on quickly. There's a great release when we share the true bread of life with those who are hungry for the Lord. I'm going to talk more about that next week as well. Let me get to this last little piece. Our true reason for fasting should cause us to be able to answer these three questions. Number one, are you where you want to be in your relationship with Jesus? I don't ask you to lift your hands right now. But I shouldn't be afraid. But I think I have some intuition, but if we're honest, we're not. But you can. Number two, are you ready for what is coming in the natural and the spiritual realm? Fasting will prepare you for things that you never thought were coming, but you'll be glad that you fasted. Oh, wow, I'm certainly glad I was before the Lord. I don't think I'd be able to handle this situation. You're fasting forward. You're fasting for the things that are about to come. Number three, are you aware of regret and resentment that needs to be purged from your life to be all the Lord wants you to be? Fasting is a purging agent that makes you aware of things that are in you that you can let go of. But it takes fasting for you to become aware of that, because all of a sudden, as you're praying and reading the Word of God, somehow the Scripture illuminates itself to you and says, that's me. And it's so easy to let go at that point because you know that God's Spirit is in the house. So what does it mean? It means this. It is not what happens to you, but rather what happens through you. Or, you may not understand the reason, but thank God for the results. I want every head bowed, every eye closed right now. Because there's something I believe God's doing in the house today.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.